Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon show. We were live in Cardiff today. We had a fine guest list. Callum Scott-Howes, you probably know as Colin from It's a Sin, a wonderful performance. He's a huge Cardiff City fan. And he was great fun. He was with us today. Mike Bubbins, comedian and actor, he joined us as well. He's the top man. We enjoyed that chat with him.
Yeah, good form.
And we had our own Johnny Owen with us as well, alongside Big Nev Southall, Neville as trenchant as ever.
Yes.
He's always great fun. So
and,
you're here from...
We had a chat on the tour diary.
The tour diary from Andy. So here it all is.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, everybody. And I have to say, it was a very bad food day for me yesterday.
Let's start on the basis that Andy is one of the fussiest eaters on earth. So you're starting with a pretty high bar. And unless it's Michelin star wherever you go, which you tend not get in train stations.
It's all about standards.
It's not about standards. It's about compromise. Anyway, Andy, so tell us what was wrong with your food day.
First of all, on the train, I bought a sandwich from M&S.
Yeah.
It said on the box, roast chicken. Oh, well, that's going to be nice.
Yeah.
But as I opened the box, it was like a whiff of garlic.
Yeah.
It was overpowering. So I checked the ingredients. And I thought, garlic puree. Who puts garlic puree
in a chicken
sandwich?
Did it not say that in the small print on the front?
If I'd eaten that, I'd have smelled like Eric Cantona after a bowl of escargot.
Well, honestly. No one would have minded.
It would. Disgusting.
So that got thrown straight in the bin. So
that was
like and then he's drifting in and out of consciousness because he's so hungry.
That was like Ramon Blanc compared to the evening.
Okay.
Where we went on to last night's meal at Gareth Bale's bar.
Yeah.
The restaurant 11.
Yeah.
Recommended to us by Johnny Owen. So I sure
yeah, well, it's a good, from a footballing point of view, it was the place to go and watch.
Great memorabilia.
Yeah, great memorabilia. Big screens everywhere. We watched France-Germany there, which we very much
enjoyed.
And
it was very busy.
Yeah, it was very busy. Yeah.
But as Gareth earns $600,000 a week, I don't suppose he phones up every night to check the takings.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was the Bale Ale, the Bale Chicken.
Yeah, I went with the Bale Ale.
Yes.
It was a bit
I thought it was non-alcoholic.
It was a bit like the first, it was a golden ale, and they did admit it was a soft, and it was a bit like the first half of his season at Tottenham. It was a bit weak.
Yeah.
From my point of view. But they did have the Beaver Town, so I was sated. So I didn't have a problem. My pizza was excellent.
I had the
Gareth Bale pizza. Everything's got a bit of a... Apart from the Bale Ale, everything has got a little bit of a Gareth Bale tinge to it. I had the Bale barbecue chicken pizza, which went down...
It was appalling.
He didn't have any of it.
Honestly, the base was like a poppadom. I've never seen anything like that. How's that a pizza?
I liked it. All I can tell you is I liked it. Yeah.
Honestly, you showed that to an Italian and you'd thrown it in your face. Anyway... It was the full
sorry, Gareth, if you're listening.
He doesn't
I doubt
care.
If he starts the day listening to us in Baku. He's getting his game face on.
I mean, leaving aside the obvious gag, as the restaurant wasn't as good as it was 3 years ago and the service has slowed right down, it was a great experience.
Yeah, of course. Well, I was expecting a bit of satire.
Yeah.
So there we are. And while we're on the
well,
subject
hang on
of
a minute,
food,
I'm finished.
Oh, blimey, okay. What
joking.
Happened after this?
If I have to suffer, the listeners are going to suffer.
Right.
I thought I'd play safe.
That's not the idea, is it, really?
The steak. Honestly, it's quite a skill to get steak that wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to go in the kitchen and tell the bloke how to do it. Honestly, there's literally thousands of videos on TikTok about how to cook a steak.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just give it to him. At one point, I thought the chef was from our hotel in Kaliningrad.
Yeah, that is a real insult.
Still, as I said to John, the chef was less Marcus Waring and more Eddie Waring. But then what can you do?
Nice one for the kids.
Never mind. Oh, no, it was so
bad. So, look,
bad.
Is that you done on food? Because you're getting
that,
it now. So, breakfast this morning, myself, John the producer, and Andy sat down. And these days... The buffet really in these COVID times is difficult. So you're kind of waited on. It's like old school hotel food. And they gave us a massive menu, the market kitchen breakfast menu. And the full breakfast you can have. It says pork sausage slash vegetarian sausage, bacon, fried egg, hash brown, beans, tomato, mushrooms.
Singular.
So it comes up with a couple of sausages, a couple of bits of bacon. They give him two fried eggs. They give him two hash browns. They're just being generous. He kicks off. Oh, I only wanted one of everything. I said, well, just eat one of everything then.
There wasn't enough room
on
the plate.
And he was sitting there going, pork sausage, singular. Bacon, singular. Fried egg, singular. Hash brown, singular. Then he went, beans, plural. They're not going to put bean, are they? Tomatoes, singular. Anyway, so he did all that and then proceeds to eat it. And then he's cleared most of the plate. And there's another sausage sitting there. He says, oh, I fancy that other sausage now, but I can't eat it.
I know you do.
It's all about making a rod for your own back. Anyway.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Are we going to do the tour now?
Are we going to do that later?
I mean, do it now. We'll move on.
Okay, I don't mind. Do you want to do it now?
Well, we are in Cardiff.
Okay, yeah, now. We decided to check out all the many fine stadia here in Cardiff. I mean, it's all very walkable. It's a great thing about the place.
Yeah, that's a good thing about
it. You can take in three of their huge sports stadiums in a sort of 10-minute walk from where we were. So we decided to do that yesterday. Well, welcome then to a walking tour of the many great sports stadiums here in Cardiff. We're going to kick off our tour with the Millennium Stadium, so stay with us. It's closed.
That's a bit disappointing, isn't it?
Well, not much joy at the Millennium Stadium, so we just pop next door. You've got Cardiff Arms Park next door. I'm sure we'll be able to...
Such a historic venue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they'll... we'll just ring the bell and all that's in. Cardiff Arms Park seems to be shut as well, Andy.
Very disappointing.
Come on, I mean, you're being very stoic about it by your standards.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it is.
I am quite angry. I'm quite angry with John. You know, he's let us down, really.
He has, really. I thought we would have sorted it out before we got here, you know. I know other producers who would have done.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And, okay, well, look, we've got one more chance.
Okay.
Well, we're now walking through Bute Gardens next to the River Taff. A beautiful sunny day. We have been thwarted at the Principality Stadium and Cardiff Arms Park. We now head to the cricket ground, the Swalex, the Fire Gardens, if you will, Andy. Are you feeling a bit more positive?
I'm very excited. It's a sort of mecca of Welsh cricket. And, you know, some of the great occasions, I think, of Monty in 2005. I'm very excited to be returning to the stadium for the first time for 4 years.
Yeah, it'll be great to look around.
Great.
That's shut as well.
Not happy, John.
Anyone fancy a pint? Yeah, not a massive success, that, was it, really? I suppose it's all about forward planning with something. You don't kind of just rock up and expect three stadiums.
Should we say what happened to that pint that we went to have?
We came here. We thought we'd come and we broadcast here before around the Rugby World Cup, so we thought we'd drop in and say hello and have a pint with the guys here. Mm. And watching the game, and I was gesticulating during the Portugal-Hungary game.
Quite excited, yeah.
And I managed to tip beer down our producer. Just about sort of third of a pint, I think.
I thought it was one of Dave Tully's beer glass experiments.
It didn't break the glass, so Dave's theory is correct, if you were listening earlier in the week. But it did mean that John's mask was beer-soaked, so he was getting drunk by osmosis walking
like
back to the hotel.
Carpet.
Yeah, and his shorts, he's not been able to get the beer smell out of his shorts. So I do apologise.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
We're going a bit Route 1 with the music,
aren't we?
It's not
a cliche, is it?
Sir Tom. Dear me. Anyway, we are in Cardiff, as you probably gathered by now, and the Glassworks pub ahead of the game against Turkey this evening in the Euros. And joining us now, if you saw It's a Sin, you'll remember the excellent performance, very moving performance of Callan Scott-Howes as Colin. And he's a big Cardiff City fan as well. More on that later. And he joins us now. Callum, good to see you.
Hello, lovely to see you too. You're looking amazing in the fresh Welsh air today.
Yes, you're always beautiful. You say you listen to Talk Sport, don't you?
I do, Me and my father, we're big fans of the show. My father, he got me into it, really. He listens to it because he drives a van for a living. So basically he says, oh, you got to listen to Talk Sport on the game days and all that. So I was saying I got a really bad car, so I get it up on my app on my phone and I listen whenever I can, really. I love it, yeah. What a great show.
Yeah, thank you very much. Congratulations on It's a Sin and your performance. It was a wonderful performance. And was it your first big acting role?
Yeah, my first telly job. And I was so nervous before. Well, nervous filming it and nervous when it came out, because I've never had something like that, you know, being part of anything as big as that or anything as really as sort of important as that in my life. So I was bowled it over when I got the offer, and then just I can't believe the response it's got, really. I'm so chuffed, and I'm just so grateful, really, to be involved in the show and for Russell taking that chance on me. And it's just been really fun, you know. It's just been great, and I mean, being able to be on this show, you can't go wrong, can you? It's brilliant.
I think it was the role that affected people most. I mean, that kind of vulnerability to Colin that made it even more heartbreaking.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, that's it, really. I think that's with Colin. It was the innocence we wanted to kind of capture with him, and I worked really, really hard with our director Peter to kind of figure that out, because it's not always about sort of you can't play innocence, but it's about sort of being as wide-eyed and as well, kind of learning from experience. Really, I moved to London when I was 16, and I kind of used a lot of that, the experiences I had, to kind of represent that in Colin, because it is a frightening thing when you move to London, and especially being someone who Colin is. It's all about that kind of bringing what you can to the role, right? And I had a lot of fun with it, as well as, you know, it was a lot of sad moments, but we had such great fun. Throwing ourselves, immersing ourselves in the time and the 80s. Gosh, I wish I was alive in the 80s. What a time,
But it resonated with a lot of gay men who were around, like Graham Norton, people who were around time.
And that's the other thing as well, Callum, is we spoke to Gareth Thomas about this, who's doing so much to kind of destigmatise AIDS and people living with it now and people living with people who have it now, and this, because there is a lot of misinformation, and Gareth works very hard on that. But I think for a lot of people who didn't grow up at that time, they didn't know how people were treated. It was an education. They now know what went on, and they're kind of disgusted by it, really.
Exactly, and I think for us, the most important thing was about sort of telling people that it's not like that anymore. You know, it was this bad at the time, but now we've moved on heaps and bounds. You know, you can know your status by getting a test and taking a test and knowing your status. It's actually, you know, people who are HIV positive and know their status now, they are, you know, they are technically the safest people to to sleep with and have sex with, because actually they know their status. Mm. And actually there's so many people in the world and in the country who don't know their status. And for us, it was all about that, you know, kind of raising awareness of just, you know, just getting that test done and just knowing what's going on with your body, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Well, as we said, you are a huge Cardiff fan, and you got a great privilege a little while ago. You got to go to the ground and do some announcing. I think we're going to give you a little bit of that now.
Oh.
Curtis Nelson, number 21. Marlon Hunt, 27. Shane Otto, 38. Heavy MG.
That's great. That must be really exciting.
I had to go for it, didn't it? I was so nervous because, you know, it's one thing to go to the ground and, you know, go and watch boys in the middle of a pandemic, but then they hand you that mic, you just be like, oh, I can't get this wrong. I got to go for it. So I was so nervous, but I
shame there was
it.
No fans in there.
Shame
there
were
no
fans.
The cheers.
I know. Oh, imagine. I had goosebumps. But even just having that mic in my hand was just great. It was good fun enough. I love having a microphone in my hand. It's such a laugh. It is. When I did that for the players and in the stadium that I've been to, you know, we got a season ticket, me and my father. So it's, for me, I was just like, I was just chuffed, guys. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe my luck, you know. Yeah. But it was, what a great day that was.
I can identify that because I know how excited, because I got the chance to be the PA at Chelsea. I'm a big Chelsea fan. Oh, but yeah. I got sacked.
after one minute.
What did you do?
Yeah.
I refused to operate the equipment.
Yeah, they wanted him to, he didn't realise he had to kind of turn the volume up.
I thought
and
I
down,
just had to speak, but they wanted me to do all the buttons. I'm not doing that. I don't mind speaking. And they said, well, you can go then. Yeah. So I'll take a chance to say anything.
You didn't have to do any of that. They just gave you a mic.
No, I didn't have to fiddle around with any knobs or anything.
That.
Yeah. So where did you watch the game the other day then, Callum? Where did you watch the first match?
So I watched it at home. Me and my father were watching it together. And my uncle Stuart as well, he came round and we were watching it. I was a nervous wreck. And then I remember, you know, they did this amazing video before it with like Johnny Owen and all them kind of saying about how important it is and what it feels like to be Welsh. And it just gets you going, doesn't it? We feel so proud of the boys, like just for even qualifying. So, you know, there is no expectation. I really not expecting, you know, you don't want to, because you just want to just go with the flow and see what happens. And that's really the mentality of the country, I think. But it's that hope, isn't it? There's so much hope. And I think that's what it is. And I was nervous because, we just love it. We love football, and I think, you know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's really exciting.
Also, after 2016 expectations for Welsh fans, and what a great journey and that was, you know.
Yeah, but exactly. But I think as well, it's a new start, isn't it? It's 2021. We had an amazing time in 2016. I had probably the best summer of my life. but actually, you know, there's that thing of like, let's draw a line under it and let's just see what comes with 2021, because who knows? It's a new team. They've come on a bit. You know, we've got Kiefer Moore in there now, who's kind of come out of nowhere, really. You know, he wasn't around in 2016, nor in the Wales squad. And then, you know, now you've got like Nico Williams and Danny James. And for me, that's the most exciting thing, is you've got these players who weren't around in 2016 who can offer something new. But, you know, you've still got Bale and Ramsey in the mix. And I think, who knows? It could be a cocktail either for disaster or for success. But, you know, let's just hope it's the latter.
So was it always football for you? Because obviously Wales is a rugby country, isn't it? Traditionally, I'm sure that's changed over the years. But was it always going to be football?
Well, I won't lie to you. I did try and play rugby when I was young. But then I went into a ruck, right, when I was playing for my primary school. And a tog just came and hit me in the head. And then my mother came and she said, "This ain't for you, Cal." And that was it. I drew a line under it straight away. But I used to sing in the car. So my mother was like, "Oh, let's try him in performing." And then it kind of went from there, really. Yeah. I started singing and I did a bit of musicals.
So what was the first thing you did? Can you remember the first part, meaningful part?
I played Oliver in an Amdram production of Oliver with a company called Celtic. Yeah, it's a great role, and I loved it, and that was great fun. And I just remember just sort of that's where it was born, really, my love for acting. And I kind of went for it from there. And my, it's been with me and my parents, really. If it wasn't for my parents, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. And that's why I bring my father to everything, really, because we go through it all together, you know. And
so there's a sketchy old VHS of you somewhere singing "Who Will Buy" and "Where Is Love" and all this stuff. Is there
somewhere?
It's going to appear on one of those before they were famous.
Let's hope it never comes out, though, boys. Don't throw one of them in today, please. Don't.
No, we haven't.
I have done. You've got to pick a pocket or two. At the school panto. That's on video. Yeah.
So you've got that on video.
Yeah.
Really? So you were Fagin, were you?
Yes. Was it Ron Moody who played him originally?
In the movie. Yeah.
I'd say I was slightly better.
You out mooded Moody, did you?
No.
What about our old mate? Our old mate Omid Jalili played in the West End. I saw him play in the West End.
It's a good part, but brilliant. Not for me.
Anyway, but enough about you and your acting career, Andy. Piece of work, isn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, my Instagram DMs were full this morning with Euro Beltwatch.
Oh, yes.
People asking.
Now, should we remind the listeners?
Yeah,
Andy noticed last week, and he mentioned on the show that Gareth Southgate was not wearing a belt with his suit when he had the polo shirt look. And then there was
Roberto Mancini.
No belt with his Enzo Berzot jacket.
That's right. Luis Enrique.
Yeah, no belt. So we discovered from Lee Hendry, who's a bit of a style counselor, that is a thing, the no belt look. It's not one that he goes for. But
Didier Deschamps, he was wearing a nice thick black leather, a very solid belt.
A proper belt wearer.
Proper belt.
We couldn't tell, could we, whether Joachim Löw was wearing a belt or not, because he had his normal top and chinos.
Elasticated waist, I felt.
It's a real...
You can see the drawstring.
So easy access, knowing what he's like. And he did...
He's still doing that thing.
I don't know what... Anyway, let's not dwell on that
at
this time of day. But it's such a shame. He's the only manager in world football.
Yes, sir, I can bogey, as we call it.
It's a shame.
It's not good, is it?
It's a shame we're losing the only football manager who looks like he's putting on a production of All That Jazz at the Arts Theatre.
Bob Fosse.
Because at times he kind of wraps a jumper around his shoulders and he's just got that look of a man who's going to go and a one and a two and a turn and a pass and a receive, and he just sounds like singulars. Every time I see him, I start going. Anyway,
I have to say France looked very good. So
they did.
Can I say
actually Germany didn't look bad?
No,
they didn't really.
But France looked the class.
Yeah,
yeah, c'est rentré à la maison, le football rentré à la maison.
Beautiful.
Try singing that. Franck and David.
Yeah, that's right. You do feel for Hummels when... I mean, I'm sure it'll be the same for some of the Turkey defenders tonight when Dan James get. I mean, that one...
I didn't really feel for him. I didn't go to bed thinking, poor old Mats Hummels.
And to be fair, he got in a great recovery tackle, but I think we all remember that moment when he probably had, 15 yards on him?
Oh, God.
And Mbappe just went past him. But again, look, fair play.
So when did you decide to retire, Mats?
Yeah.
It was one of those, wasn't
I think it was one. I thought, this isn't for me anymore. This isn't the young man's game as he reached. Yeah, I mean, he got the tackle in.
I'm actually, my neck's a bit bad because we were a bit too close to the screen. It was like being at the planetarium.
It was
incredible,
a bit,
really.
Yeah.
But never mind, I'm not complaining.
The other thing that happened at breakfast, more apart from Andy's catchphrase, being singular, the two phrases of I'm never full, which is one of the phrases of the trip, the other one being beans singular.
Beans singular.
Beans singular.
Beans plural.
Beans plural, sorry.
Yeah.
Was that our producer was given shredded wheat and he'd never seen it in its natural habitat, had he?
I didn't understand that.
It was in like this big white packaging, like two of them in a package, the way that they generally, because they're not just thrown into a box, John, they'd go stale, but he'd never seen them in their natural habitat.
Excuse me, a little
pocket of wind there.
I do apologise.
It's like working with Jeremy Lyon. Going to start drinking Lenore in a minute. Fantastic.
And we did, I don't know if we're going to do this, but we had TV formats for new Maidstone United signing Regan Booty.
Okay.
Did he play for Torquay at one point?
Yeah.
I wondered why you were interested in him.
What are they going to... Well, he can always get him a phone in on TalkSport. What could we possibly call it? Yeah.
I've got line of booty. Regan becomes a referee's assistant.
Oh, that's that good, yeah.
But
Shakier booty.
Very
I don't know what that is, but I'm not sure.
No. When he takes over from Man City. That seems ridiculous.
No, Shakier. Well, that is the title of a Frank Zappa. I often say it, but that actually is the title of a Frank Zappa album.
Well, it's true. Now, talking of Maidstone, ITV Sports, massive, huge studio... Is in Maidstone. Fair enough.
No, it can't be, because I could see a backdrop of Tower Bridge yesterday, Andy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Surely they were sitting in front of the backdrop of Tower Bridge.
they were.
It didn't seem to get dark either.
No.
It was amazing.
But it's not honest. You might as well have Maidstone High Street. That would be more honest.
You can't have like this big pan-European... Well, with respect if you live in Maidstone. But you can't have a pan-European competition and Patrick Vieira and Roy Keane and Wrighty sitting there with Mark Pugac and have Maidstone Nile Street in the background.
I would.
Can you?
That's in what I game for.
In a game that's being played
still,
in Munich.
It's a lot better than GBTV, which reminds us of Romanian Match of the Day.
Yeah, I'm surprised. The black curtain behind it does seem as quiet. Yeah, we
Andy no expense spent. It's fantastic.
In 1998, when we did fantasy football, we did get hold of a tape of Romanian Match of the Day, and it looked like it was four men round a bare light bulb, and then they'd cut to highlights, and it looked like the four of them all sitting there, very stern men, looking at each other. It looked like they were about to have a game of Russian roulette. It didn't look like a TV show. It was quite a troubling program, actually. So anyway,
well, we noticed that they borrowed former ref Peter Wharton from BT Sport,
and yeah.
We couldn't hear Peter, but we were sort of imagining that he saw both sides of the ref's point of view. Old Splinters Wharton.
Well, I do slightly shiver when Fletch uses the phrase during commentary. Let's bring Peter Wharton in here. And we had this vision, didn't we, that in some nightmarish, hellish vision of the future in football, that whenever anybody says the words, let's bring in Peter Wharton in here, a hologram comes around the corner. Whenever we had a referee, I was kind of putting my hand through a virtual Peter Wharton. He's not really there, he's just virtual.
We did bring him in for a view on my steak, and he saw both points of view.
He said,
chef.
I wouldn't say it was the cooking of the steak, Andy, maybe it was the cut. He wasn't prepared to commit either way, really, was he? The cooking.
There you go.
Okay, was there anything else you want to share with the class?
It was a very nice listener turned up last night.
Yeah.
And it's really nice when people come up to you and say they love the show and all this stuff. And it turned out that he was from John's hometown of Brixham.
Yeah.
Very nice. And it turned out that he knew John's mum, so we were kind of looking for a likeness.
He knew your mum? No. No, she...
I thought he did.
No, he was...
Oh, he was joking. I thought he knew your mum.
Daddy, he went. It was a wonderful moment.
No disrespect to John's dad, of course.
It was, yeah, of course. And that didn't happen, Mr. Cadogan. It really didn't. That's not what went.
Oh, I got the wrong end of the stick there, but not for the first time in my life.
Oh, I also discovered, and I mean, to tell you, Andy is a fussy eater. You may have gathered that by now. He buys his beans on Amazon. Because he doesn't trust the shop to sell it.
No, because
he's sitting there turning to us. He said, "Once you've had Branston beans, you never go back."
Well, very true. As you'll find,
you're not looking for a free case, but I'm just saying.
I'd be quite happy.
I've never known him evangelise. I mean, he says he's a fussy eater and he's got to be Michelin star this and you know. But then he'll work his way for a big pile of Branston beans.
Over the years, that other well-known proprietary brand of beans has kind of they seem to have got more. The sauce has got thinner. I'm not the only person to say. Whereas the Branston...
Well, you're not the only person to say this.
The Branston's really a solid
source. I'm on
to
change.org. See if we can get enough people behind the campaign.
For me, it's a solid source.
See if we can
makes
get a
all the
petition
difference.
Going.
Somebody very cleverly on social media, though. I mean, Cristiano, fair play, the soft drink company made that stand about water and everything. But then they showed this picture of him holding a large bucket of a well-known chicken brand, and I'd say he hasn't got the typical body of a bargain bucket consumer, to be fair.
No, I suppose people are allowed to change. He may have done promotional things in his youth that he probably wouldn't.
I think he looked quite recent, to be honest.
Oh, it did look quite recent,
but
he still had the grease on his lips while he was taking those two soft drinks bottles out of the way.
That's all right.
Had a little bit of the Colonel's batter, did he? You'll pardon the expression.
Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Joining us now, and he joined us when we were here in this very pub for the Rugby World Cup. Big rugby fan, football fan as well, comedian, actor, Mike Bubbins. Mike, good to see you.
You too, Paul. How are you, mate?
Yeah, we're good.
The man you used to be.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah,
you're looking in great shape, mate.
I look like a Greek god.
Yeah.
like a Welsh one.
So, what brought on this transformation?
First lockdown, drank a lot of gin, did no exercise, got up to an unhealthy weight for me.
Right. I mean, you're a big man.
I'm
you
a
can
big
carry
bloke.
It.
I got nice shoulders. I got lovely arms. I got good thighs. I got a nice strong bum. But I just got a bit unhealthy, so I thought, lose a bit of weight. So, just started doing a bit of exercise, a bit of cycling, a bit of running, a bit of weights.
Right. Yeah, we can see the shoulders. Yeah.
I did a little peck dance for you and Andy earlier.
You did. It was
very
like I was going to start playing. Like, what's that guy who's been on it? Tony Holland.
It's wasted on radio.
It's a bit racist.
John doesn't know what we're talking about, but he's laughing anyway.
He's fine.
That was entertainment when we were kids. Bloke used to come on with a pair of Speedos on and do that, didn't he?
Well, it was pre-TikTok, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But I'll tell you what, if they brought it back, the kids would watch it, wouldn't they?
I'm going to do it today when I get back now.
Yeah.
I'll send you the link.
Imagine in about 3 or 4 months' time, the TikTok sensation Mike Bubbins again. It would be fantastic.
He's bringing back the peck breakdance. Come
yes.
on.
Now, are you as big a football fan as a rugby fan, would you say?
It would be a lie to say that I was. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a podcast with Ellis and Steph for the last year or so, and they've got me... My boy loves football as well since the last Euro. So, yeah, so now I would say that I am 80% football fan and 100% rugby fan. So it's catching up.
So did that do that, 2016? Was that kind of old generation of kids? It was
unbelievable. Yeah, I'm just to see my little boy's football team. Suddenly my kids playing football all over the place, you know. Just a massive increase in the interest. We went to the open top bus when Chris Coleman and the boys came through.
Mm.
I've never seen that for the rugby. There were thousands of people in Cardiff. It was a great day. So, yeah, that was a real... I mean, it's a long time coming, and it's been brilliant for Welsh football. And, yeah, so look at me. I'm a converted fan.
Yeah, you're that's a convert, great. That's great.
And you're wearing the football shirt today, and
this is the sort of 76.
This is the 76.
Yeah,
the Admiral shirt. Yeah.
So we played the game. We always play it. And interestingly, both Andy and I said exactly the same play. You look at a shirt from an era, and you think, who was the first player you see in it? We both said Terry Yorath.
Wish I had his hair. Yeah.
And also, you're wearing a pair of flares. I mean, it's a long time since I've seen them or worn them. So I said to you, are they second wave or from the original?
These are
period?
Second wave, Andy. But I don't mess about. I'm consider myself to be a retrosexual. So these are. And I got on a pair of white Adidas Sambas as well. So if you're going to, I like the 70s, but I thought I'll go 70s football.
It's a good idea. Are on the lookout for the tracksuit top that matches that shirt, Mike, aren't you?
I am.
It's a bit of a holy grail, is it?
It is a bit. I saw a reproduction, but the collars were far too small, Paul.
Right.
I want the big collars on it.
It'd go well with the flares, wouldn't it?
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
Fantastic. So if anybody's got one, just remind us of the colours we're looking for and the sort of look. It's the red.
It's the same. It's the same colour scheme, red with the yellow and blue. Lovely big collars on it.
Okay.
I mean, there are matching shorts, which are real rascals as well.
Well, they would be quite brief. They would be quite a tight short, which you can now carry off.
With your
new look.
You mentioned lockdown there. We've spoken to a lot of comedians, and it's a great life being a comedian, but... Lockdown was hard.
It's a great life because we've got no money.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. That's what the point I make.
Yeah, true. I mean, like I mentioned the pod, so that came along at the right time. Luckily for me, really, you know. But yeah, a lot of my mates struggled, and if it hadn't been for that, it would have been a struggle for me. Because I mean, I think every gig for the year went in like 48 hours. So
yeah, difficult.
Last time we saw you were doing a sitcom as well, weren't you? You were acting.
Yeah. So I did a sitcom called Tourist Trap on BBC Wales. Mm-hmm. But I've just written a pilot as well, so that's going to be on in October on BBC Wales. Hopefully, got a series. It'd be nice.
Right. Can you tell us what it's about? Is it too early?
Check this, boys. I'll give you a sneak preview.
Yeah.
It's about a fella called Tony Mammoth. It's called Mammoth. He's a PE teacher in the 1970s, school ski trip, gets covered by an avalanche, everyone presumes he's dead. 40 years later, found, brought back to life miraculously, gets his old job back in his old school, but he's an unreconstructed 1970s
changed.
Male.
Oh,
brilliant.
That's beautiful.
That sounds brilliant.
In a kind of modern...
modern-day comprehensive school.
So
yeah.
There's the headmaster / headmistress not particularly impressed with
not
your...
Not a huge fan.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan. I can't give away too much, but I did use my own car and a lot of my own clothes. So
really?
It was lovely.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great premise. That's
good, isn't it?
That sounds fantastic. Yeah.
And we got a fellow called Joseph Marcel who played Jeffrey in The Fresh Prince. He's my best friend from back then.
Oh, really?
Who now lives in an old people's home. Still my best friend. And so he was absolutely brilliant in it as well. So, yeah, it's good. I'm excited.
That sounds great. Yeah, we'll watch that. We'll get to see it. When we down south, can we...
It'll be on the iPlayer. And if people pull their fingers out, you know, who knows?
So when are you going to start shooting that then?
We filmed it, so we've done it. Yeah, I can
see
it. I'll send you and Andy a copy if it don't sound.
Oh, no, we'd love to. I'd love to see it. It sounds fantastic.
And gigging opening up a bit?
Yeah, I did my first couple of gigs last weekend at the Glee Club in Cardiff. I'm doing the Glee Club in Birmingham in a couple of weeks. We got the pod tour in the autumn. We got a stand-up tour for me in the spring, so it's getting there.
Did you do any of those drive-in ones or virtual?
Do you know what? I mean, tip of the hat to all the boys and girls who did them. I didn't really want to do them because I just think I'd be not very good at it. I don't know. I mean, I nothing but admiration if you did it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a drive-in comedy gig. Imagine getting honked off. I mean,
we talked about that. Karen Bailey, we were chatting to her yesterday in Birmingham. She said, like, you know, they decided they could use the horns just to kind of make a
point. She couldn't
tell
if it was a laugh or a heckle, which I thought was a fair point.
The thing is, the idea that somebody would drive out and then just go to the toilet, then drive back in again.
Yeah, that was the thing. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that would be awful, wouldn't it? Where are you going, mate?
Those little cardboard cups you get in the hospital, maybe. Don't
I suppose that's what people would have done, wouldn't they? Yeah, just throwing it out the window. It's not very pleasant, is it? You don't get that.
No, that's a good point. So today, where are you watching the game?
So we got tables booked in the pub. Not this pub, unfortunately. Tables booked in one of the pubs up in Cardiff. Me and the boys, two tables. So, I think, do you know what? I don't attempt fate, touch wood. I think I'll get a result. I think we'll beat Turkey.
Good.
And then I think if we can beat Turkey, then it takes the pressure off of the Italy game. And I think 4 points will be good for us, you know?
Yeah, has Ellis gone? Has he gone to Baku? Is he
no, there? He couldn't go because of work. No, so he's still around. Yeah, he's devastated.
I saw some film last night on TV, BBC Wales, of the boys in the swimming pool in Baku singing the national anthem. Big gang of them there. So the ones that have made it seem to be having a good time.
I think, obviously, I'm biased, Paul, but I mean, Welsh fans seem to have a good time, get on with the locals, get involved in it, and so...
Yeah.
I mean, they were great in 2016.
They won, like, the fan award, didn't they, for the... Mm.
Yeah. We met a big gang of lads in Monaco, didn't we?
Yeah, they were terrific.
We all looked out of place as they did, really, amongst all the... Yeah, we had a great time, didn't they?
Well, you'll get the train back today, aren't you? Because otherwise... If we get a result, Cardiff will be... jumping tonight.
Yeah, no,
it was pretty jumping last night.
Yeah. I tell you what, 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night,
it was lively.
It was like 1 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. All the kids were out. I mean, all the bars were packed. It was nice weather. It was shorts weather yesterday, wasn't it? So that helped.
Shorts are a state of mind, really, isn't they?
Yeah, that is very true, isn't it? Yeah. And we were told the other day in Glasgow, wasn't it, that they call it taps off weather, which is basically so anyway you can get your top off. But I did say to the cab driver, I said, this is shorts weather. He said, mate, everyday shorts weather in Glasgow. We don't care, it'll be minus 15, we'll have a pair of shorts on. So that's very true.
The postman theory,
that is the postman the postman theory.
The Hawksby and Jacobs daily podcast from TalkSport.
Johnny Owen and Neville Southall, Wales legend, of course, with us here in the Glassworks pub. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Good to see you.
Lovely. Together at last.
How do you guys? Do you guys know each other?
I've never met Neville before.
Really?
He's a hero of mine. It was quite funny. They said to me, look, can you get down to Cardiff for the show today? I said, I'm very busy. I said, I don't know. It's a big thing. But Neville Southall, I said, what time do you want me? So I came down and I just had 10 minutes with him talking.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better with the game tonight.
Oh, that's good. Come on to that. Last time we saw you, Neville, we were in a garden in Somerset. With Pat Nevin, who of course is with us today, because our producer really looks like Pat, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think Pat got around a lot when he was younger.
Second time that's come up. You were in a garden and it was an FA sponsored, I think it was Eon, wasn't it, when they sponsored
FA
the
Cup.
FA Cup. Were saving penalties in a bloke's garden.
Yeah, well, it was a fairly small goal on it.
But it was still effortless. People are drilling these shots and Neville's on his knees. It's bang.
Strong hand.
Yeah, just still got it.
Neville loses the reflexes.
And of course, you mentioned our producer there, and he's Torquay obsessed. And of course, now he loves you because you played for Torquay.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it at Torquay, to be fair. It was. I didn't really want to go in the first place. But Dave Watson's brother was playing. He said, look, we've got nobody else, so can you come down and play? So I'd retired by then.
Wow.
And to be fair, by the looks of how I played, it probably should have stayed retired.
No. I was just telling the story before we came on air. I watched Cardiff City play Torquay.
Right.
And I think Torquay won the game 1-0, but we peppered the goal. I think that's the term. And obviously, we'd all followed Neville all over Europe. He's Welshman, isn't he?
Yeah.
And about 10 minutes before the end, you could just hear this voice from the Grange end just going, oh, come on, Nev. No one in, will you? And the best thing was, Nev turned round and said, I can't, boys. I'm paying for Torquay.
Yes, they're paying for wages.
It's brilliant.
What did you make of the first game, Neville, at the weekend? What did you make of the performance?
Well, I don't think it was a great performance, in all fairness, but I thought they showed a lot of stickability and character. Mm. And I think a few years ago, they would have got beat. So, you know, I was pretty pleased that they didn't get beat. You know, tonight's a big game for them. But on the flip side of that, if they have to go to Italy and win, at least they have to know. They know what they're doing.
But this competition, three draws will do it. It's a mad competition, mad format.
So yeah. I heard you in Merthyr in the sort of aftermath and before the game, Johnny. And look, they didn't play as well as they know they can, did they?
No, they didn't. It was very interesting, like I said, having this chat to Neville before the game. And he was just sort of saying to me, as a footballer, how important the heat is, especially in those kind of countries. And he said, it's like you can't get your second breath and it affects you. And we did look sometimes tired. And he said to me something, psychologically, then you're chasing the ball a lot. And of course, the other team gets settled in when they get the ball a lot. And that happened to us.
Yeah.
And you start thinking, oh dear, this is going to be a long afternoon. But he said they stuck at it and they got a point. Tonight, he was already saying it's going to be 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
The shadows will start falling over. Mm. So you've got that idea that it was maybe we've got more of a chance. I think they'll come out of the traps really quickly,
yeah.
Turkey. They'll fancy this game. But if we don't concede in the first 20 minutes, or especially if we get an early goal, but if we don't concede in the first 20 minutes and play our way into the game, then you don't know. Like I said, talking to Neville has really helped me, because earlier
you're
on today,
more comfortable.
I am.
They did come on strong, didn't they? Towards the end of that game.
Yeah, they got better.
It's a different game. It's going to be interesting to see who takes the initiative tonight, because they both need to win. And I think I'm not sure whether it's going to be an open game. I think it'd be quite cagey. I think Turkey, obviously, with their they seem to have a lot more fans in Wales there.
Mm.
The onus will be them to attack. Wales can sit there, really, and play on the break, which, again, will suit them better because they've got pace.
And they're under big pressure because they're going into the tournament. I even had a little fiver on Turkey because everyone's going, Turkey are great.
Yeah.
We spoke to that Turkish guy on Friday. But after I've finished
4 points against France in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I know. But
you know, there are teams that come to big tournaments and just don't perform. So that's to be hoped.
I'm hoping it doesn't get too volatile, because that's the thing with some of the Turkish sides. If they do get a little bit stressed, they can make it into a game where they drag you into fouls, they get bookings.
Yeah.
Well, Wales have got to keep their discipline. I think they lost it a little bit at times against Switzerland. They got frustrated. If they try and drag them into that kind of game, then they don't want to do that. They want to play their own game. And we don't want to use Kiefer Moore as much as what we did, or from as deep as what we did the other day, because we kicked it too straight, too long. And Usain Bolt wouldn't have caught any of them. Maybe if he kicks it diagonal, then it'll go out for a throw, or we'll get it. But I also like to play Aaron Ramsey a little bit further forward.
Steve Morrison was chatting to us earlier on, and he had a bit of a feeling that Rob Page may go three at the back, and maybe Kiefer Moore won't start tonight. It might be a slightly different lineup.
Nev said something very similar. He said three at the back and five across midfield. So he set us up slightly different. We were overrun in midfield against Switzerland. There's no doubt about that. But you know, there's some really funny things that somebody was telling me today, boys. You'd love. There's a suburb of Istanbul apparently that's twice as big population-wise as Wales. A suburb of Istanbul. And those are the kind of things that sometimes, as Welsh people, we have to sort of understand. We're the second smallest country in the tournament. And we're already punching way above our weight. We're playing a country, 85 million, right? But it's part of Turkey, let's be honest. This. And then UEFA, in their wisdom, have sent us to Rome for the next game against Italy. So there's these things in this tournament. Me and Neb were chatting before. In a major finals, you expect one horse country, lads. But this structure's been strange because so many of the big countries have had the advantage of home games.
Sure.
You know, and that's been difficult. Because I feel like now we've qualified, give us a fighting chance as a smaller country.
The format for the tournament is a disaster.
It's been difficult for us.
The thing about being a small country, John, is interesting. I heard a Wales fan talking this morning saying it's almost like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing, that because it is a small country, most people have got, they kind of know someone who knows someone who's related. I think this guy was saying he played golf with Gareth Bale's dad, and he went to school with somebody else's dad. And so I think a lot of people have got some of the links to players. They can find a link through sort of some spurious way.
We do feel, you've seen what I'm like around Neville. He's a hero of mine because he's a Welsh lad and he wore his heart on the sleeve. He felt like one of us. We do feel that.
Yeah.
That is true. You do feel like a lot of those players are very relatable to us.
Yeah.
And I think the Welsh FA have always had a thing, especially where we've always been able to go and see him. So when Neville was playing for Wales, you could go to the hotel and the boys would have a chat with them and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's something I think we've definitely got in Wales, where you can relate to the players. And like you said, a lot of people, like my sister, my brother down there, who's a huge fan, Christopher,
right.
You.
Yeah.
His wife is from Whitchurch and she knows Gareth Bale.
Ah.
And that's Wales. That would sum it up.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we all kind of have got a connection to somebody who's in the team.
But I hate it when people say Wales are a small country.
Go on, Ev. Yeah. Go on, Ev.
I absolutely hate it. Because what's that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
It's how good you are.
Well, they proved that in 2016.
Yeah, but who cares who you're playing? They're 11 men.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I mean, I suppose you've got, you're working from a much smaller pool of talent, aren't you? So it's impressive that you can produce a side this good from a small base. You know, only so many people play football, especially in a country that was.
Don't worry.
Well, I'm just saying.
Just agree with him.
But it's interesting. Mike Bubbins was saying earlier on that it was after 2016, he's seen so many more kids playing football, his lads playing football. Football's become huge now in Wales.
It's huge, but at the same time, I get fed up when you look at the Premier League and you go, the big six, they're just fellas.
Yeah.
That's why Leicester won the league, and eventually somebody like Leicester was going to win the league, because that's how it goes. And Wales, it doesn't matter who they produce. They should be a match for anybody because it's your mindset. And what I hate about people when they say it's a small country is because they expect lesser players. We should expect the very, very best out of our players. And they're living with expectations now, and that's the difference. Before, yeah, we go and play Brazil, and they go, oh, yeah, you're going to beat 7-0. No, we're going to try and win, and we're going to... You've got to change your attitude, and we need to change it from being, what a small country, we're playing above our weight, we're doing really well to get there. No, what's the point of getting there? Mm-hmm. If you're going to get there, go and win it. Just don't bother in the first place.
So you get him in the dressing room.
Can you see why I'm like I am now after 10 minutes?
Yeah, do you mean?
Come on!
It's also why Torquay couldn't beat Cardiff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Welcome back to the Glassworks pub here in Cardiff, building up the Turkey Wales. Neville Southall and own Johnny Owen is with us here in the pub. Ashley Williams spoke to Sun the other day and went through the team Joker. Apparently, Joe Leddy and Gareth Bale and Wayne Hennessy under his wing, and they became the big pranksters, we are told. The Mona is Chris Gunter. He's also, Gunts, he says, is the DJ. And these are a couple of the songs you might be hearing in the Welsh dressing room. Zombie Nation by Ken Craft. Do you have a little bit of that?
That's a nice sing-along, isn't it?
Johnny, you're aware of that.
There's a reason for that, yeah. So Wales are playing against Belgium away, and the boys got locked in the stadium for a bit afterwards while they cleared it, and that song was on.
Right.
And everybody sang along to it, and it became a bit of a rave sort of situation with all fans waiting to be let out of the ground. And they adopted it as a kind of anthem. That's what that comes from.
Oh. Well, there we are. Is that doing it for you, Nev, that one? You could be buying a copy of that?
Not really. And if it is, to be fair, if it's in the Sun, I doubt if it's true anyway.
And what about...
I do know, in the big days of Nev, Nev used to take a big old ghetto bastard in and play Tom Jones before games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, amongst others, yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously Tom's Welsh, isn't he? Yeah.
So you were the DJ, were you?
No.
Who was in charge of music in that dressing room for Wales? Can you remember?
No, we used to take it in... It's now 90 or something like that, or it's now 1956 or something.
Well, apparently Chris Gunter gets very upset if anybody else takes over on the music. He gets very possessive. Right. He likes this one as well. I'm going to sound like a high court judge. He likes This Girl by Kungs versus Cooking on Three Burners.
That's one of my favourites.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan, Andy.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's another song the fans sing.
Ah.
Yeah. So you know the Barry Horns. Have you heard the Barry Horns?
Oh, yes,
That's
yeah.
A group of fans who go around with the brass section and named after the player, Barry Horn, who played with Neville, in Everton. Yeah. And they play that song and fans sing along to it. So that's another one, the reason why they play. The other one they used to play, which I was very impressed with, is There She Goes by the Lars.
That is blimey. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
I imagine Barry Horn was the prof, wasn't he? Because he was a bright boy, had a degree and all that. Ben Davis is the current prof. He's a very intelligent boy, says Ashley. If you have a quiz in the camp, you've got to be on Ben's side.
A nice lad too, Neath boy.
Oh, okay.
Nice boy, yeah.
That could say a lot about the others, though, couldn't it?
So there we are, a little taste of what the boys are like in the dressing room.
Yeah, that's fun. Now, Nev, we should ask you about David Marshall the other day. Everyone felt for him, but...
They were beaten by Schick from the halfway line.
What did you make of it?
Well,
from a goalkeeping point of view.
He was a long way out, but I don't know whether... He thought that it was dead because he was going to shoot, or in a slightly cynical way, I wonder how quick his centre-backs are.
Yeah.
Which is why he was so far out.
Well, maybe because he's thinking, actually, maybe they're a little bit quicker than them. I need to be a little bit further forward. So, look, you're going to get games where things happen. I mean, somewhat similar happened, not from that distance, with Chris Waddle. I threw it out to Andrei Kanchelskis, who lost the ball, and he chipped me from about 40 yards.
Wow.
So it does happen. It's just the way it is, isn't it? And you know, lose a little bit of concentration when you think someone's going to shoot and it goes in. But you know, people have been talking about leaving out the team. That's just bonkers.
Yeah.
In all fairness, so,
does that bother you any more than any other goal? Is there a goal or not? Is it the nature of the goal? But unless it's a bad mistake, but
what can you do about it?
Yeah. Just got to get on with it.
Well, you can't change history, can you?
Yeah.
What else? I'd be sitting here with millions of medals, but you
can't. The world's most pragmatic man. You do know
you
this.
Just get on with stuff because there's nothing you can do about the past. All you've got to do is concentrate on the next game. Yeah. And he should be pretty quiet on Friday, shouldn't he? Is it a game Friday now?
Yeah.
Scotland played at home.
And what about of the choice of Wales keepers? Now, are you in agreement with the way things are at the moment?
Well, he done well, didn't he? So
have a good game.
They're quite lucky. They've got three decent goalkeepers. That the thing is, they're not playing regular. So I would like to see them all move somewhere where they can play regular. But Danny Ward did well Saturday, so we expect him to keep in the team. And say he did everything he needed to do. Probably, I want to see him do different kicking, obviously, because I think if you've got your two centre backs who are split and they stood 5 yards away from you, and then you launch it to Kiefer Moore, who then heads it back to their goalie, I think that's a bit of a waste. So if he's going to kick it, then kick it to diagonally, so we've got a chance of that, and he can still get the power in it. And then your centre half get a rest further up the pitch. And I think sometimes in the game, they stayed deep, and sometimes because he kicked it so long so early, they didn't have a chance to get out.
Yeah.
And then possession was given away, and you don't really need to give possession away against good teams, especially in the heat.
No, that's very true. Well, what of Gareth Bale and the kind of the Gareth Bale as he is now? We were talking earlier on to Callum, Scott Howes, the actor, who said he'd like to see him maybe a bit more central, let Dan James do the running and square it inside to him, because his game has changed, isn't it? And he is a great finisher. And we said he's got a Yarmolenko in him in this tournament, because that looked like a Bale goal, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, my father used to say there's world-class players and there's magic players. Mm. And Gareth is a magic player. You've always got a chance in any game with Gareth Bale on the park. He could do something, you know? I mean, people say he's not the player that he was 5 years ago. I understand that. But, he's still got the potential to be able to do that. Dan James is quick, as Nev said earlier on. We got real pace up front.
Yeah.
Causing problems if you get in behind. There was a few times he got away against Switzerland where we had a chance. Aaron Ramsey as well. I mean, they tended to bypass us. The midfield was overrun slightly, the two lads. That's why I agree with Nev. I'd like to go five in midfield. We've got to get hold of the ball, especially in this heat, because if they settle in with the ball as well, it's very difficult when you give a team a ball a lot. They get comfortable, and that's what happened with Switzerland. They got more and more confident as the game went on, I felt. So it's going to be hard out there, and I want us to keep the ball a little bit more. We have to keep the ball a bit more tonight for me to get to win the game.
Also, you've got to think of, you looked at Ronaldo last night.
Yeah.
That was Gareth Bale. Nothing for God knows how long.
Sure.
And then he wins again.
Yeah.
And that's Gareth Bale. It doesn't matter if, you watch Gareth Bale sometimes for 90 minutes, you're thinking, flipping out, you could have had a deck chair, mate.
Yeah.
And he pops up and scores two goals because he's got that in his locker. And I think, you shouldn't look at what he doesn't do.
Yeah, fair
he
point.
He is what he is. Yeah. And I think a lot of it is because we sat so deep. He's never going to run 70 yards.
No,
yeah, that's true.
We didn't get the pace. We didn't put it over the top of people. We didn't, the times that James did run, they just cynically fouled him anyway. So I think we've got to be able to further up the pitch to use the pace. And Gallup's not dangerous in our half, is he?
No.
He's dangerous in their half, so you've got to find a way of getting him right up the pitch. So maybe if he does play Kiefer Moore tonight, then maybe play Gallup just behind him.
And
just let him work off him and see what does. Because he hasn't got the legs that he used to have. But I think him and Aaron Ramsey especially don't want to leave this tournament with their reputations or not feelings of they've done the best they can. And I think they'll be really disappointed if they don't produce themselves.
That was one of the good things, wasn't it, Johnny, that Aaron Ramsey had a decent game. And until he actually got out there in a proper match, we wouldn't have really known that, because he had missed so much football with Juve, but he looked pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, like I said, Nev was right earlier on, you want your players playing, and Danny Ward had a great game, considering he's not a regular for Leicester. He's one of the best goalkeepers, arguably, in the country, but as what happens in the Premier League, they stockpile the best players. It's a problem. Danny Ward sat on the bench in case Casper Michael gets injured, and that's a problem for something like Wales, and you want your players playing. And the same with Aaron Ramsey. I mean, people forget as well, Joe Allen's been injured for a long time, hasn't played many games for Stoke. So there's a few players there that have only played a certain amount of games, and I think that showed a little bit. Even the boy Joe Morel, I felt a bit sorry for him. He's not getting picked for Luton Town, and he started as well. For me, I like our players to be playing. I mean, Ethan Ampadu, I know Sheffield United didn't have a particularly good season, but at least he played.
Yeah, sure.
That's why I'd like him to be playing, for Wales. One just quickly, I'm going to pick up on boys. Just like you said in the show, I wish you told me you wanted to go to the Millennium Stadium. I'd have had a word. I would have. And the same with Sophia Gardens.
To be honest,
I'm so Welsh here, but
it was a slight radio conceit. We decided when we went there, we thought, let's just pretend we couldn't get.
I would have thought that he went. I thought he said you could have gone with a ball and had a run on the pitch.
Done for comic effect. But we're going to come back, just wrap things up with Wales. Yeah. Before we do, a few stories about Rafa Benitez for Everton, Nev. I know you're very keen on your old teammate Duncan Ferguson getting a look in there.
Yeah, look, I think Rafa Benitez is a good manager. Is he right for Everton? No.
Yeah.
Not a chance. Punters won't wear it. He's Liverpool. They won't have it. And if he comes into that ground,
it'd be a bit like Chelsea. It'd be a bit like that. Yeah. Where Chelsea fans never accepted him. Yeah.
No, he's going to have to produce something special. And at the moment, with the squad we've got, he's going to do well to produce something special there because it's a work in progress. So, for me, I would rather have Duncan because look, we're never going to get relegated. He's a good manager. I think he's far underrated than anybody else. He started before Ancelotti getting us on a good run. I think he's quite knowledgeable in everything he does. He knows the club inside out. He knows all the younger players. So why not give him a season's contract and say where we are? Because we're not going to be in any worse position than we will be at the end of next season as we are now. So Rafa Benitez, no, good manager in his own right. Too many connections with Liverpool.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We do it all again tomorrow. We're going to jump on a train shortly and head to Manchester. We're in the National Football Museum.
And wherever we're eating tonight, if the chef's listening, you better be on form.
Yeah, you better be on your game, mate, as you've just discovered. But yeah,
I'll book you in the AV tonight, boys.
Yes, there we are. Johnny Owen, who recommended Gareth's Bar. We're slightly backtracking now. Mine was good, Johnny. Mine was fine. Anyway, if you're catching this early, don't forget, 5 o'clock this afternoon, Wales, Turkey, the big game. Hope you can listen in. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.